Word is true. God, help each and every one of us just to want to learn and want to listen. And God, just in Jesus' name. And we're starting to mention how Paul, he talks about, did you listen to the message? And he said, these are Holy Ghost anointed notebooks. Seth, if anybody wants a notebook to take a few scriptures, I really believe today there's going to be some things here that, here's two pens if anybody... Actually, there's more than two if anybody wants one. If they don't have something to write with, you can also give them that. To meditate on the Word of God, how many know the enemy wants to steal that Word from us? You know, we go away and we forget about it. It's like looking at the mirror. He says, we walk away and we forget what things happen. And when we share the words here, it isn't like we're sharing what you need. It's something that God told me I need, and if I need it, I just got a feeling that you need it also. Some of these things are common things, and so God began to minister to my heart and began to speak to me. And you know, as I'm talking with the Lord in that private time in the morning, I came to the place where I said, you know, God, I want to be a better person. You know, sometimes you're okay in that, but I want to be a better person. I want to be a better person. And so, you know, you think about it that, you know, when you're going through struggles and you're filled with all kinds of pressure and all these things, how many know sometimes you say things you shouldn't have said and you can't get them back? How many know that sometimes we get a little ornery or whatever and we just, you know, and it's not a time for building something good. And so, you know, these different things that, you know, when we feel good, we bring life. You know, when we're joyous, we bring life. And so I'm thinking, God, you know, what's the catch? And you know, it was really, really kind of clear because, you know, the Bible says this. It says that he says, repent that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. And, you know, repentance isn't something we just do once and then get saved. Repentance is something that brings refreshment to our bones. And I just thought about, you know, when I'm refreshed, when I feel good, it's better for everybody around me. But when I'm, you know, when I'm pressured, and so, you know, how do you become a better person? Well, I think becoming a better person is beginning to learn to listen to the voice of God. Lord, what do I need to repent of? What's some of the things that are allowing, you know, bitterness? And, you know, I mean, you know, somebody will say something, well, you know, so-and-so or so-and-so didn't do what they're supposed to do, and right away, you know, something starts to rise up in a, you know, I mean, well, I'm going to deal with this, you know. And that's not God. I mean, I don't know about you. There ain't any of us be sitting here right now if that was God. He'd have wiped me out a long time ago. And so, you know, we come to this place that, you know, I want to read in Romans chapter 2 real quick. Romans chapter 2 verse 4 says this. Or do you not think lightly of the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads to repentance? So, repentance, it's the kindness of God that brings us there, you know. And so I come to this knowledge that repentance, you know, is intended to lead us somewhere. And at the moment that we come to the Lord, and you know, maybe you just got fed up with your mate and you just had a little quarrel and you said these things, and, you know, some of the things weren't good. Some of the things were maybe truthful, but they weren't said in love or any other kind of graceful thing like that. And it wasn't in kindness, so it didn't bring back some of the things that you wanted to happen. But, you know, we see something here that the moment a person really does repent, there's the possibility of having a change into a new life or a new thing. You understand? See, newness of life is different. The old life is something that God wants to get rid of. And repentance has to be a very strong part of it. You know, I mean, well, God, you know that I don't murder and I don't have sex with other women. And, you know, I'm not a drunk or a drug addict, you know. I mean, that's not what God's looking for in me. You know, I mean, that a lot of that stuff, you know, all these things disappeared many, many, many years ago. But, you know, sometimes my mind doesn't always do me favors. Sometimes situations don't always do me favors. And yet, you know, God talks about the possibilities there of what the enemy wants us to think. Well, if you'll repent, you know, if you'll turn away from sin, well, that's part of it. But the other part is when we turn away, what we're doing is we're turning to God. And when you turn to God, something begins to happen. You know, I mean, there's nothing you can do really to make everything just change or all the things that we've done in the past. But when we do turn and we turn to God, then there's this possibilities. And so, you know, I'm thinking, well, God, I do want to become a better person. So what are you convicting me of today, God? You know, God speaks to us of our little things that He wants us to begin to turn to God for. And so how do you plan to make life better? Okay? Harley, how do you plan to make life better? So, you know, I'm just kind of thinking. I'm thinking scriptures and different things are kind of popping in my mind. And in Proverbs, you know, I had been reading, and in the book of Proverbs, chapter 15, verses 31. I'm going to read a couple verses here. We're going to read a few verses, but 31 through 33, it says this. He whose ear listens to the life-giving reproof will dwell among the wise. I mean, you know that God is always trying to correct us. He's trying to correct our attitudes. He's trying to correct our thoughts. He's trying to correct our directions. He's trying to correct our habits. He's trying to direct us, you know, putting things in the right place. You know how many people have gotten really most amazing victory in their life when they've listened to one of the things that we've said? Get up in the morning and spend time with God. Get into the Word of God. Read. Don't let any excuse get in the way. If you've got to leave at 4 o'clock in the morning, get up earlier. Make sure that time begins to be God, and God will begin to do things. And so, you know, it's kind of amazing how he says that, you know, God wants to help us with the things that are hindering us, not just take away something that's good. He's trying to put something there that makes things so much better. And God is not condemning us because it's the kindness of God. I love you. If it takes you 10 years, it's 10 years. If it takes you one day, I can still do it, God is saying. You see what I'm saying? We can drag out these things in our life for years. I don't know about you, but, you know, how many know that just the simple thing of genetics? I don't know. You know, how many ever heard the saying that, you know, Irish people are hot-headed? Would you agree with that? It's genetic. So in all these genes that us guys are running around with, there's got to be some adjustments. I don't know where you come from. I'm Slovak, German, whatever else mutt put in there. And so God is able to do all things. He's able to get us victory in these things, and over the nature that, you know, we're kind of raised in, and over the craziness that goes on in the world, he wants us to be victorious. And so if we want to be better, then we have to learn to listen to that voice of God, and we have to begin to make plans. Okay, now, in verse 32, it says, he who neglects discipline despises himself. You ever try to correct somebody? Wow, don't always go very good, does it? And then God says, yeah, when someone tries to correct you, don't go very good either, Harley. I agree, God. Yet God wants us to think about these things. He wants us to think about it in the kindness of God. And so he begins to speak these things into our life. And in verse 33, it says, The fear of the Lord is the instructions for wisdom. And before honor comes humility. Now, this one kind of took and hit me a little bit more. God, you know, every one of us want to be honored. We want to have a life that's good. We want to be honored. That's our desire, not to be useless, but to be useful. And so before honor comes humility. I don't understand all these things very well. And so it takes the Spirit of God to bring understanding. It says the Holy Spirit will teach us all things, even what is to come. And so, you know, Harley, if you really want to be a better person, he's saying, I got this little bit of time with you. I want to teach you something. I want to show you something. And then he wants me to listen. You understand what he does? He wants me to listen to these things. And so you see that, Harley, getting your own way isn't always the answer. I'll tell you what, you know, when someone doesn't do it the way I want, sometimes I can get a little uppity. Anybody like that here? You know what I mean? And honor comes before humility. If we'll be humble, and humility isn't always trying to get my own way. Ding. Okay, God, keep convicting me. Just don't do it all at one time. You know what I mean? Just don't tell me I'm such a bad guy all at one time. And you know, God is saying, you ain't a bad guy. You're just trying to learn the things of life. What makes life better? And so I think, and you know, God, you got a plan of success. And so then you get that verse 28 in that same chapter, as I was reading that chapter. It says, the heart of the righteous ponders how to answer. You know how many arguments and how many accusations and how many pointing fingers that a pastor of 50 years has listened to and been a part of? I created some of that myself. No. Okay. But it says, the heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. There we go. We're starting to find out, you know, humility isn't always getting your own way. Humility isn't, you know everything. You know that it's got to be this way or the highway. And so sometimes I think God wants to begin to let us spread a little bit of kindness so that kindness can bring repentance maybe in people's lives that we're around, that we got to deal with, that we got to live with, got to work with. And so, you know, I'm kind of looking a little bit more, and, you know, that James chapter 1, I don't know if I told you that one, Rocky, but I'm gonna read the... yeah. You got that, huh? I couldn't blame Rocky if it wasn't there, see? This you know, brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Uh-oh. You know, everybody's always speaking all kinds of stuff. And man, sometimes it's good, and sometimes it's one-sided, and sometimes it's every other kind of thing. And yet God is saying, be quick to hear. And now, here comes the key, slow to speak. Because if you start talking about some of these things right away, anger is going to rise up in your heart. That's what happens. That's the enemy's path. That's how he begins to cause little things. That's why gossip is such an enemy of the church of life. You know, and so, you know, God doesn't want us gossiping about other people. He wants us praying about it and not gathering everybody to pray so you can tell them everything that they're doing before you pray. And so, you know, we realize that being slow to speak and slow to anger, we got to go back to Proverbs 15. And verses 29 and 30 says this. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayers of the righteous. God, I want to be better. Okay. Harley, do you think you got to work on anything? The devil, well, you've been a pastor for 50 years. So what? You know, God doesn't honor one person above another. And, he just begins to let you know some of these things. And then he says, bright eyes gladden the heart, and good news puts fat on the bones. So what is the gospel? It's good news. What does a bearer of good news do? Puts fat on the bones. Helps bring healing. Brings life. What do I do? Well, mixed bag, God. It's a mixed bag. You know, I got my own ideas. And then God says, I want you to humble some of them ideas. I want you to be a little more quick to hear, a little more slow to speak, and definitely a lot more slow to anger. And so, I don't know about, does this make sense to anybody here? Sure did to me. I don't know about you. I'm sitting there and God made me go through it 3 times. I'm thinking, I probably should go through it tomorrow too. But God is good. I really appreciate the kindness. And so what brings life? You see, if we bring some good news, if we bring some gladness, we don't want to just always blast somebody. Sometimes you want to do some good things also so that you can bring in a little bit of help, a little bit of correction so that they'll love you. But the tongue is really, it is quite the thing. And so I come to the conclusion definitely that Harley, he doesn't always get it right. I don't always do the right thing. And so it's not wrong to make some plans. How many know that? God wants us to make plans. And so when we talk about being a better person, God wants us to try to make some plans on how to do these things. And so it's good to plan ahead. God, I need to spend a little time. I need to think about these things. I've got to, I know some people that would put a few little note cards in their pocket so that it remind them of some of the important things. One of these days I should probably do that message. Tony, he just reminded me, we did this message. You remember when in the days where everybody was selling all these things, these miracle cloths and miracle pins and all these here kinds of things, and if you'll give us this much money, we'll send you this, and it has the anointing of God on it. And so I got this idea. I made everybody in the church sit down and they put glitter on these clothespins. And it had just Jesus, nice Jesus glitter on a clothespin. And we messaged, this is a miracle pin. This pin has the power of a miracle. And, we even did this at a men's retreat, 50 guys, and I run into a guy 7 years after, and he still had that clothespin in his pocket. But I said, this pin can do a miracle, because if you'll take that pin when you're about ready to speak something bad, and you put that clothespin on your tongue before you say it, it's going to cause pain, and you ain't going to say it. And so this pin has the power to do a miracle. And we passed them all out. We did that in a few places. Tony said, you remember that message? Last week he was asking me. I said, yeah, I remember that. That was kind of cool. And we might have to get some of the miracle pins, right? But we gave them away. We weren't charging anything, praise God, because the gospel is free. And so, when we think about making plans, like I said, if it takes a miracle pin like that clothespin, Noah, he built an ark before it started raining. He made plans. Harley, you got to make plans to be better a little bit. Sometimes you got to make some plans. I'm not a good planner. I'm not the most organized guy in the world. So God has to help me with a lot of these things. And so, again, you see, as you go into Proverbs 16, verses 1, I'll read verses 1, 2, 3, but I think he's just got a couple of them there. I don't know what he's got, but in Proverbs 16, 1, it says, the plans of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. He talks about plans. All the ways of a man are clear in his own sight, But the Lord weighs the motives. Boy, I tell you what. You ever sit down with a couple arguing? Boy, if you could ever get to the motives, man, you could do some serious restoration. And a lot of it comes to that point of if we will humble ourselves, God can honor, you know? And then it says, commit your works to the Lord, and your plans will be established. Well, God, I want to be a better person. Okay, make a plan. Okay, what do you got to do, God? Commit them to the Lord. See, it's not just a, okay, I prayed, it's done. Holy Ghost come. You know, everybody today, they just want the Holy Ghost to do everything. They don't want to have to do anything. You know, we have people in trouble, and first thing I say, you know, you got in trouble. Well, what did the Bible say? Resist what? Yeah, resist the devil and he'll flee. Well, there you go. Not the most graceful message in the world, but truth. If we can resist the devil, he has to flee. And some of these things, you know, we got to make some plans to do these things to resist at the moment that it's there. And so the Word of God is always true. And you can take and put a period on that. Period. Can't change it. It's true. Word of God is true. Always true. Never comes back void. And so here is a key to success. And what is that key? Your plans cannot be independent of God, Harley. You ever do something that just don't work? Yeah. Sometimes we need to change our plan or change our timing or do something, change something so that God can begin to get something done. But, you know, we're called into a relationship with God. And so in that relationship, our plans have to align up with God's plans for our life. And, you know, I don't know about you, but, you know, even in prayer and that, sometimes, you know, we want to get someplace, and so we come to prayer, and so God is trying to teach us how to align these things. And so we got to come into the presence of God and put our plans before the Lord so that God can establish them or maybe change some of them. I don't know about you. God's changed a lot of my plans all last week. I was planning on doing nothing for one day, and then these guys decide they want to build this thing. And so I can't just leave them do it by themselves. You know what I mean? So we're in there. I mean, every day something's going on. And so plans can change by the grace of God. To see Steve-O's face when he got to get in that drum cage and play real drums instead of electric drums was something else. He's like a little kid. Praise God. Right, Cor? It almost made it worth all the work, Steve. So what happens is, you know, when we talk about our plans lining up, our visions for life, all these things, you know, they need to be led by the Spirit of God. See, that's what God wants to lead us by His Spirit. And that comes, you know, again, through the Word of God, through these different things. And so, you know, when we sense God's leading, then we begin to commit these things to Him, and we lay them down. And then that verse 3, it says that our plans will succeed. Now, there's a lot of different things that, you know, that come into play. And so, you know, we look at that chapter 16, I want to read verse 5. It says this: Everyone who is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Surely he will not be unpunished. You know, there's not that many things that can stop you, but pride is a real strong enemy. We're not our own. If we can begin to understand that. You know, when sin starts knocking at our door and we begin to understand I have died, it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And I don't have the right to do some things And, you know, God begins to give us that ability. And so we see that, you know, really what pride is pride is living independent of God. That's the kind of pride he's talking about here. Living independent of God. Doing your own thing your own way. Well, I know what I want, God, and I have plans. And you know, well, if you commit your plans to the Lord, if you, you know, then they'll be established. But I don't know about you. I've planned a lot of things that just didn't work out. Even my wife was telling me, did you pray about it? I don't need to pray. I want it. Became one of the biggest enemies I ever had, man. It just stuck with me for 5 years. We had to pay for that problem. And all because Harley didn't pray. Harley knew what he wanted. Some things the Lord lets stick there for a little while so you remember. So, proud can't be told anything. They know everything. Boy, that's the day we live in. Everybody knows everything, and if they don't know it, they'll Google it. So you can't tell them. You know, I mean, how do you tell somebody that you don't know nothing about? You know, one of the best things you can do is just humble yourself. And what does that mean? Well, I don't know. You know, they got to figure that one out with God. They got to get together with God and begin to make some of these plans so that their life begins to be different, that they're not independent of God, but their plans are coming from him. And, you know, we see in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11 says this, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity." Wow, thank you, Jesus. "To give you a future and a hope." And then, you know, sometimes we got, yeah, but God, I was thinking. And God says, that's a goat. But stop thinking. Boy, people get in more trouble by thinking. And the heavy thinkers are the hardest to get to. They're always thinking. And half the time, it's more than half the time, stinking thinking. Because it hasn't been committed to God. And so they try to think their way out of things. They try to think their way into things. They try to, you know, and so when your plan, if you come up with a plan, think about committing it to the Lord and then researching it in the Word of God and spending some private time with the Lord. And I bet you things will start to go a whole lot better in your life. So it says that. And then it goes on into Romans 12:2. "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Oh, God, if you could just do a miracle in my mind. "Transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect." And when God says that, and I begin to do it, I'm going to realize that it is a good plan, it is acceptable in my life, and it's perfect. It can't be better. See, I've found that God's plans are perfect. And I wouldn't even come close to understanding God's plans until you start committing some things, and then God begins to open up some doors, and God begins to touch your heart. "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10 says this, "For we are his workmanship." God is doing a work in each and every one of us. He wants to. "Created in Christ Jesus for good works." Good works bring good things to a lot of people, starting in our own life, "which God has prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them." I'm going, oh man, this is good stuff now, God. And then all of a sudden, I get this little inkling in my heart. And I get this little voice, and it says, but, you know, there's a few woes. How many know that God isn't just, you know, there's kindness and there's all these things, but how many know that there's woes, you know? There's woes that God wants to get us away from so that these woes can't weigh into our life. They can't steal from our future. They can't cause us to go in a bad direction, that our plans are truly the plans of God. And so he begins to talk about just a couple little things about these woes. Now, in Isaiah Isaiah chapter 30 and verses 1 and 2 says this. Woe to the rebellious children, declares the Lord, who execute a plan but not mine. God, come on. Here I was just on high, and now you give me a woe. He's reminding me, you know, things start going good. I just start making my own plans. And then they start getting bad again.
God, how can this happen to me?
Somewhere back in the line, you forgot to do something. You forgot to, you know, make this thing so that it was God and God could establish it. Somewhere in there, you opened up your lips and created something that I have to try to restore. Somewhere in there, you know, okay, God, I get the plan. I get it. Give me a little more kindness. No, but it says, but not my plans. And make an alliance, but not my spirit, in order to add sin to sin. Oh, I tell you what. I wish the Teen Challenge guys were here today because, you know, you think about it, that's exactly what happens. They get these plans, they go out and do these things, and they get to this place where, you know, it says, who proceed down to Egypt without consulting me and take refuge in safety of Pharaoh and seek the shelter of the shadow of Egypt. In other words, the old life, the old plans, the old things. God don't want the old things. He wants new things in our life. New things we might not be accustomed to or aware of, but God wants to create new things. And so I'm starting to see that how can two walk together? I've used this many times as I've been in board meetings with church people. How can two walk together, at least they be in agreement? You know, and yet God is saying, hey, Harley, how can you and I walk together unless we're in agreement? It ain't no board. It's me and you. Come on. This is the nitty-gritty. How can two walk together? How can you walk together with God if you're not in agreement with God? How can you not listen to what God is saying and then think that you're going to walk with God? Impossible. God said so. And so I begin to realize that there's a lot of my plans that aren't really sitting down and counseling with God, you know what I mean? And so then you kind of wonder why some of the days are like the days they are. And I think God wants us to, you know, not that bad things can't happen to good people, they can, but, you know, God always works out things. And so I come to this conclusion. I want to walk with God. Now in Jonah 1 and 3, but Jonah, God told Jonah, he had a plan for Jonah, you know what I mean? But Jonah rose up to flee from Tarsus, from the presence of the Lord, so that he went down to Joppa, found a ship, and was going to Tarsus, and paid the fare, and went down into it to go with Tarsus from the presence of the Lord. He was running from God. How many know when you begin to start to run away from God, when you begin to turn your back on God, you are getting to the place where you're starting to go and get yourself in trouble. Now, God is always there, the kindness. And 3 days he spent in the belly of this fish before he come to his senses. I think he was more stubborn than me, God. Man, as soon as that thing swallowed me up, I'd have been praying. But it took him 3 days. He was running from the presence of God. If you run from the presence of God ever, you're in trouble. And God's going to appoint something to get to you. And so he did. He appointed this fish. Fish swallowed him. He's in. And it says, finally he comes to his senses, and he prays to the Lord. Okay? Then what happened? He was vomited up exactly where he didn't want to go. So sometimes if you find yourself back to these same places, there's something God wants to do there. There's some victory that came in. Well, I just the same things. It seems like always, you know. Come on, Harley. Listen to me. I mean, you know, God is trying to speak. And so he's a good God. He brings us kindness. So again, I want to go back to Isaiah. I want to go back to Proverbs just to read that again real quickly. Proverbs 15, verses 31, 32. He who has ears, listen to life-giving reproof. Will dwell among the wise. He who neglects discipline despises himself. I don't know how I got in this mess. If I really talked to God, I'd realize how I got in some of the messes. But he who listens to reproof acquires understanding. Oh, now I got a way to get out. God gives me ways to get better. He's trying to teach us how to make life better. You know, the Proverbs is really an excellent thing. I want to read again in chapter 16. I want to read those verses 1 through 3. It says, the plans of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are clear in his own sight, but the Lord weighs the motives. We got to look at our own motives sometimes. Commit your works to the Lord, and your plans will be established. Guaranteed fact, period. Jump down to verses 7. It says, when a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies be at peace with him. I've found that. I've found that many times. And then it goes in verse 9, it says, the mind of man plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. We got to let God direct his steps. We got to commit our plans to the Lord. Begin to get those voices from the Lord. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 says this, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good for those who love God and those who are called according to his purpose. And I'm going to close with this scripture. Romans chapter 8, verses 6 and 7. All of us have the ability to think, especially to you heavy thinkers. Think even more on this one. For the mind set on the flesh is death. But the mind set on the spirit is what? Life and peace. God, I want that. No matter what my mind, no matter what Harley wants to do at the time Harley wants, I want that. And so I got to learn to make some of these plans. And then it says in verse 9, however, you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if indeed the spirit of God dwells in you. For if anyone does not have the spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. Now, the Bible is filled with it, and we're not going to go there maybe another day, but learning to walk in the spirit, that's what we need to do. As individuals, you know, like I said, I know what everybody else needs to do, but I really need to begin to learn what I need to do to make my life better. If my life gets better, I can help make my wife's life better. I can help make your life better. And I can learn to say the things that would be edifying, that would build up rather than tear down. That's what the Bible says. And so the tongue, we didn't get into it, but Brian did a little bit. It's ruthless. But if we can put the bit of God's word into our mouth, it can direct that whole body. God, help me. Help me never to give up that most precious time that I have in the morning that I begin to spend with you and begin to ask you, what should I do this day and how do I get rid of Harley so he don't get in the way? Amen? You ever find some of these things in your life? Yeah. God, we're all going to do better. And we appreciate you guys. You guys are really coming up. I mean, you know, helpful. Things are going better. God is doing things. Been a sweet spirit of God in this place. And I think it's just the beginning as we begin to learn. Amen? So, Lord, we thank you for your word. Your word is true. Your word is to be loved and obeyed and cherished and used. God, we thank you for the name of Jesus, Lord. As we would go this day, let us go forth in your precious name. And Lord, let us exalt you. God, we thank you for the time, the worship, God, the word. And Lord, help us to be that joyful good news proclaimer that puts fat on some bones out here today. In Jesus' name, God's people said, amen. You guys have a wonderful time. Wow, I'm going to go hook up to my boat and go play. Praise